I'm really getting used to this theme. Hello, hello, and welcome again to another edition of Things We Said Today. This is our weekly show in which we talk about what's going on in the world of the Beatles. News-wise, Ken Michaels here, known from my Beatles radio program called Every Little Thing, being joined by my co-host, my buddy in crime here, Mr. Beatles Examiner himself, Steve Marinucci.
Hey, Ken. Hey, everybody. Welcome back, Ken. How was your vacation?
I had a fine vacation. I spent a lot of time in San Diego with some friends of yours, too. Dave Humphreys, who was a guest on our show. He was a friend of Tony Sheridan's and did some recording with him. And Dave's wife, Robbie. And also I spent some time with a guy named Wolfgang, who was Tony Sheridan's keyboard player the last 20 years or so. Did an interview with him, which is soon going to be on my website. So it's kind of interesting because it's not just about Tony with the Beatles. It's more, you know, because people don't really know that much about Tony Sheridan after the Beatles.
Right. There's a whole history there of stuff that he did outside the Beatles that is quite interesting, yeah.
And maybe with his passing, that will give cause for more information coming out, more books.
Well, there is already
projects.
One book out, and hopefully, you know, like you say, that now that he's gone, that maybe there will be more information out there now.
And I also should give a shout out to Stephen Kalinich, who I spent some time with as well. We all hung out together. Stephen's best known for his association with the Beach Boys, and he's written songs with Brian and with Dennis, and just had a great time.
Good.
In San Diego. But our show this time out has to do with the latest on Mr. McCartney, who has just started his new Out There tour. And he did his first show in Brazil. And
first two shows, actually.
Yeah.
He's done both of them, and he's there. First two shows, and actually there's a third one. As we are taping this, there's a third one tomorrow, which will be, you know, history by the time hearing this.
By the time this gets posted, it's going to be a week later, and it's going to be
four
more shows or something. But this is going to be a fun show because we're going to be talking about Paul's playlist, what he performed in Brazil. And I'm sure for the most part, it'll be the same from show to show, although he does make some changes here and there, but not a lot. But I tried to do something that was almost impossible to do. I wanted to go into this show not knowing his playlist, which is, you know, when you've got friends who are Beatle fans, people who listen to your show, they all want to tell you. It's almost impossible to go on Facebook. In fact, I saw this picture that read Paul's set list as soon as I went on Facebook. Didn't even have to click on a link. And it's right there. And I'm saying, no. I don't want to know. I want to wait till I talk about it with you. So there'll be an element of surprise because this is really the first time that I'm hearing this. And we'll get our reaction as to Paul's set list. And I'm curious to know what you think, if you're pleased with it, and also what our fans think. And I encourage them all to write in.
Yep. Now, do you want me to go through, do you want me to read you the list in order, or do you want me to read you first the songs that were new that were not played on the last tour? You tell me
how
you want.
Well, why don't you just go through the playlist? But why don't you tell me before we do that, how many songs did he do in this show that he's never done before?
That he's never done before? There are 9 songs that he had not sung during last year's On the Run tour. 9 songs.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty familiar with everything that he's done in his solo career, so what he has done and what he hasn't done. So.
And let me count here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 of them were Beatles songs.
Okay.
And 3 of them were solo songs. Let's start. He opened the show in Belo Horizonte with 8 Days a Week.
Wow. You know, it doesn't surprise me so much that he's doing that song. I think it would surprise me more that he opened with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too, actually, because it doesn't sound like I haven't gone to YouTube to listen to the videos, but it doesn't sound on its face like a real strong song. However, someone who was listening to the who got to hear the rehearsals in Los Angeles sent me a report that I published yesterday that has some information on what things were like. And one of the things that my source said was that everything that they played in the rehearsals, they've done so far. There hasn't been anything, there were no songs that I got information of that they rehearsed that they have yet to do.
And okay.
Actually, the set list has stayed the same for the first two shows, which is an interesting idea. We're talking rehearsals. The LA rehearsals, and there were two rehearsals. There were one out near Burbank Airport, which is where they were next door to the Rolling Stones.
Right. I heard about that.
And then they moved to another location where the Rolling Stones actually came into the same place after they left. So that's what's happening. That's what happened there.
Okay. Well, eight days a week is a very interesting choice.
Okay.
And I'm not really shocked because Paul has brought that song up in interviews, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, but sometimes when he mentions certain songs, I get the feeling they may be favorites of his.
Right.
You know, every now and then he'll bring up I'll Get You
mm-hmm.
as a favorite B-side. Well,
yep.
He did that song in 2005, so it wasn't as much of a shock. But I think some people would be surprised with 8 Days a Week only because John sang the lead.
Right.
But it was more, at least from what we know, it was more of an equal collaboration.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next was Junior's Farm.
Good. I'm glad that he's keeping that.
Next was All My Lovin'.
Not a surprise at all.
No.
I mean, that's one of those songs, and if you follow what Paul's done on most of his tours, he has a certain pacing, and, you know, that third or fourth song is usually a very strong, recognizable, everybody get up Beatles song.
Yep.
Like Got to Get You Into My Life was, you know.
Right. Next is one of the new songs. Ready?
Yeah.
Listen to What the Man Says.
All right. Oh, am I happy.
Are you?
I am a happy man.
That was one that a lot of people were hoping for, and he heard them. And in fact, you know, when I wrote up the set list, I said, he's been listening, because there's been a lot of clamor for some of these songs.
Well, there was a survey that was done. And I'll mm-hmm. give credit here because last year or 2 years ago, it was probably last year, when I went to the Fest for Beatle Fans, they did a survey that they presented there of songs that Paul has never done live or hasn't done for a long time that they'd want to see him do. And number one was Listen to What the Man Said.
Well, he heard that.
He must have gotten to him.
Yep.
I'm glad. He's paying attention.
Next, Let Me Roll It.
Okay.
Next.
Wait, what are your feelings about that?
The tempo from Listen to What the Man Said to Let Me Roll It is a little kind of doesn't mesh as well as I would have liked. But, hey, again, I have not seen the show, and I can sit here and give my opinion. But in the context of the show, it's all different, you know. I mean, however they decide to do it.
Okay.
So... A Paperback Writer is next, which is always a good choice. I like that. That's a, you know, very energetic song.
It's interesting to me that he moved that up to the early part of the show. But
right.
All right.
Right. Next, he slows it down and goes to My Valentine.
Okay, good. I'm glad that he's, you know, continuing to play that song and playing, you know, anything from Kisses on the Bottom.
By the way, I had another story yesterday that... a reporter in Brazil sent me that she caught Nancy and Paul signaling to each other, you know, little kind of love, little romantic messages and hand signs between them.
Well, good.
So that was, and she actually got pictures of Nancy watching the show and them with Nancy, which was kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so next, after that, 1985.
Good. I'm glad that he's kept that in.
Okay. The next couple are repeats. Long and Winding Road is next.
Uh-huh.
And that's one that somebody commented to me on Facebook that they'd wish he'd get rid of. And putting it so far up in the set, that's kind of strange, actually. But, okay. Maybe I'm Amazed is next.
Okay.
Which I really like that song, so I'm glad to see that.
Well, it's a great live song, and he had the hit with it as a live recording.
Right. Hope of Deliverance is next.
Good. I mean, he's done that off and on.
Yep.
Recently, so I'm glad that he's making this. I hope this is, a mainstay in his set list.
Yeah, actually, I do like that song. I do like that song. Next two are new, and here's one. The first one is "We Can Work It Out."
That's not new.
Well, He didn't do it last year.
Oh, okay.
He didn't do it last year.
He has done it. He did it.
He has done it, but he didn't do it last year. Yeah, when I say new, I mean new as far as last year's tour. And next after that is Another Day.
Great. He hasn't done that since 93.
Right. He hasn't done that for quite a while.
Okay. I'm psyched about that.
I love her.
Okay. Good.
Blackbird, which he's done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Here Today, which he's done a lot.
Okay.
Okay, well, here's one of the huge surprises, and I mean huge. Your Mother Should Know.
All right. I'm very glad.
Are you?
I'm very glad, yes.
Yeah, no, I am too, actually, about that. That's a wonderful choice.
Do you know how many great Beatles songs he still hasn't done?
Right.
and it certainly wouldn't bother me if he did songs that the others sang lead to. It's not like he has to keep it to his own. But, yeah, I'm glad he's doing that one.
Okay, Lady Madonna next.
Okay.
Next song is All Together Now.
It's about time.
That's all I have to say.
You know, that's one of those songs. It's a great sing-along song.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why did he take so long to do Obladi Oblada? I mean, that's a natural.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so All Together Now is pretty much the same thing. It's the one of those songs that everybody in the crowd's going to sing along to.
Right, right. Next is Mrs. Vanderbilt, which I hope he keeps in that set forever.
Forever.
Yeah, no, I really love that. That worked out so well. It's such a great song. Eleanor Rigby is next.
Uh huh.
Okay, here comes one of the next huge surprises. Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite.
Oh my God! Now that I would never expect.
True. True.
That was really
a shock to me too. I was like, oh, really? Seriously? There's one other song that's coming up soon that's an even bigger shock as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
But that was, I think, the second biggest shock of the set. Something.
Okay.
Obladi Oblada.
Okay.
Band on the Run. Here's the one that completely floored me, because I heard about this. There were some of this stuff leaked out in the sound checks, and we didn't know if this was, because I talked about this with a few people, and we weren't sure whether to believe it, but it turned out to be true. High, high, high.
All right.
I know. That's such a great song. I'm so glad he did it.
That shouldn't be a shocker. You know, that is a song that he should have continued playing throughout all of his tours.
Right.
And it's a great song, like the Wings Over America tour, to be close to the end of the show.
Right.
You know, definitely, no, that doesn't really surprise me. I'm super glad that he brought it back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. There's one more new song. It's coming up. Next one is Back in the USSR, which is always great.
Uh-huh.
Let It Be.
Okay.
And then of course, he's into the encores here, Live and Let Die.
Uh-huh.
Hey Jude. Oh, actually, that's not the encore. The encore is coming up. Okay, Hey Jude. Then we go into the encore, Day Tripper.
Mm-hmm.
And another big shock. You ready? Lovely Rita.
Hold it.
I think I really shocked you then.
Yes. Believe me, I'm very glad about that one too.
Yeah, I mean that's quite a surprise. That's quite a surprise. That's not one that I ever thought that he would be doing. And Get Back.
Okay.
Yesterday. Helter Skelter, and then the Golden Slumbers, Carry That Weight, the end. Medley at the end.
All right.
That's the show.
Very, very interesting.
Very interesting. And like I said, he did not change the set list to the second show, which makes me wonder if he has decided to go with a straight set list. Pretty close to it.
It's too soon to tell.
We'll know tomorrow night.
You know, the last few years, Paul, if you've seen like two shows in a row, he will take one song, take it out the next show, and replace it with another one. I've just seen a face gets replaced by I'm Looking Through You, something like that.
Right.
So that could still happen. I mean, the band knows these songs.
Right.
It doesn't really take that much to switch a song here and there. And for the fans that go to more than one show, and there are plenty of them,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's a treat to not see the exact same show.
Sure.
But this is very interesting. It's definitely interesting. I'm pleased in a lot of ways, and in some ways I'm not. But then I'm one of those people that you'll never make happy completely.
What are you not pleased with?
Still, there are certain Beatles songs that he doesn't have to do every single time.
Yeah.
I mean,
Long and Winding Road, I think, is definitely one of them.
Yeah, let me just say one thing.
Go ahead.
I love Here Today. I think it's a great tribute. You can do so many tributes to John besides that song. And I know that's his own personal tribute. He wrote it for him.
Mm-hmm.
You could do any John Lennon song, Beatles or solo. I loved when he did that medley back in Liverpool in 1990 when he did Help, Strawberry Fields Forever, and Give Peace a Chance.
Right.
That was wonderful. I wish he would give Here Today a rest. You know, and it's the same thing with Something. Do you know how many great George Harrison songs he could do as a tribute to George?
Yeah, I'm not in complete agreement with you on Here Today because I really like the song. In fact, I was listening to Tug of War this morning, and I really like that. I'll tell you, there is one song on Tug of War that I really wish he would do, and that's Ballroom Dancing.
Oh, definitely.
I absolutely adore that song, and I really wish he would do that.
Well, look, the simple fact of the matter is he has such a huge catalog. He can't get to do everything that we'd like for him to do. And by all means, I love the song Here Today. Don't get me wrong. It's not a question of liking the song or not.
Right.
It's just a question of doing something else after all these years.
Right.
He's been doing Here Today for the last 10 years, 10 plus years now. Switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I say there's so many great John songs, there's so many great George songs. I remember when he did All Things Must Pass as a tribute to George.
Right.
What's wrong with bringing that back or doing anything else from the Beatle catalog that's a George song? I would love to see him do Taxman and then do the lead guitar solo as he did on the record.
Mm.
I mean, that could be just as much of a tribute to George as Something.
Sure.
I mean, Something is one of the greatest love songs of all time, period. There's no question about it. But there's so many other great songs you could do for John and for George.
Right. Well, the tour is just starting, and you know, we'll know more, you know, as it progresses as to what he's going to do. And I mean, he may surprise us all again. Maybe he's going to, you know, maybe he's got a whole bunch of stuff in the wings. But according to the person that sent me the information who heard some of the rehearsals, they said that the songs he did in Belo Horizonte and Guyana were the same. So the two set lists the first two nights stayed the same. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, well, when I look at this set list, to me the big shockers are the Beatles songs. There's really nothing from the solo careers that shock me.
Hi, Hi, Hi doesn't shock you? That shocked me.
He should have been doing that song all these years. It's one of those songs that should have been a staple of his tours. It's a great rocker. You know, everybody can get up and sing to that song. A lot of people know it. It was a top 10 hit. It should have been one of those songs that he kept doing all these years.
And but I will say that when the initial soundcheck reports came out and that song was in it, you know, I said, that's fantastic. And what's interesting was that the word was that they weren't going to release the soundcheck because it would spoil some of the surprises. So everybody was kind of prepared for what was coming, but nobody believed it. Nobody was sure until the first set list came through, and once it did, the internet reaction was like astounding. Everybody was going crazy that it was what it was.
Yeah. Well, overall, looking at this, I'm quite happy.
So am I.
You know, but I'll say what I've been saying since I started doing Beatles shows. I wish he would do more solo music. You know, it's just, it's so difficult because his catalog is so massive. And as I've said many times, you can never go wrong with a Beatles song.
Well, I think that's the whole situation right there, is that he, like, and Ringo both know that there are songs that they have to do. I think, especially in Paul's case, not so much in Ringo's case, but
well, there are songs in Paul's solo career that he has to do. He always does Band on the Run. He always does Live and Let Die. He always does Jet. Actually, he's not doing Jet.
No, he's not doing Jet. No, and he doesn't always do Band on the Run. There have been shows when he has not done it.
Really? I don't remember any. I mean full shows from his tours. Band on the Run's been there. Well, I'm talking about since it was released, not the early Wings tours.
Well, I mean,
since Wings Over America, I think he's done that in every tour.
There's staples. I mean, he hasn't done Day Tripper every time.
No, he only started doing that in recent years.
Right.
So I'm very pleased. Day Tripper is a song that I always wanted him to do, and that would be a great opener too.
I don't think he's even done Get Back every single time.
He hasn't. But in recent years, he's been doing it on most of the tours.
And Helter Skelter is another one that he hasn't always done.
No, that's another one that he's done in recent years. He wasn't doing it in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, too.
I mean, there's no, you know, if you're looking for a perfect set list, it's not going to happen.
Oh.
And, you know, it's just, you know, he does... Whatever he does, there's going to be some that you're going to go, well, why didn't he do that? You know, and I mean the mixture is really good. He doesn't play the deep cuts game, and actually I'm kind of glad he does not.
Why?
Because there are so many, you know, well-known Beatles songs that if you start going into really obscure stuff, you know, there are people are going to not be. I don't think are going to go for that. It's different. For example, with the Beach Boys, Beach Boys fans love the deep cut stuff, the obscure stuff.
Well, I completely disagree with you there. No, you're going to find a lot of McCartney fans that want to hear deep cuts. I wouldn't go heavy on the deep cuts, but I'd certainly acknowledge those fans that want to hear them. Mm. And with the Beatles, you know, you've got so many great songs. And as I just said, Paul doesn't have to do just the songs that he sang lead to.
I mean, is there a deep cut with the Beatles? There hardly is anything that can be considered a deep cut.
Depends on what level of fan you're talking about. There are some fans out there that basically know the hits and not much more than that.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, but I'm talking about the general, more than the general fan. You know, the casual fan. I don't know. I don't think there are that many casual Beatles fans. Maybe I'm, you know, maybe it's because. You know, I talk to other people, you know, all the time that aren't, but it just seems like there aren't as many casual Beatle fans as there are, you know, more dedicated Beatle fans. And so.
Well, you know, I'm happy that he's addressing certain Wing songs like Hi, 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 and definitely doing Listen to What the Man Said Again.
Mm-hmm.
The big shocker is for me, definitely number one on the list is Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite. I would never expect him to do that. When I think of Paul possibly doing a John song or a song that is so immediately identified with John from the Beatle days, he's always loved Strawberry Fields Forever.
Right.
I know that he loves Eye on the Walrus. You know, he's defended the Magical Mystery Tour film by saying it's the only place where you can see us do Eye on the Walrus. He brings up Tomorrow Never Knows every now and then, especially for his pride in the fact that he brought in the whole idea of backwards tape loops for that song. I can easily hear him do Tomorrow Never Knows in concert, but
really?
I wouldn't think of Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite, though.
I really like that Strawberry Fields Forever that medley. And
oh, that was great.
Actually, I would love to see him do Strawberry Fields Forever. That would be pretty amazing.
Uh-huh. He's talked about Girl upon occasion.
Mm.
You know, he loves the fact of, you know, the heavy breathing in the song.
Right.
I think he really appreciates, he loves that particular song. There are certain John songs that I could hear him do. Many years ago, he said he'd like to have a stab at Beautiful Boy. So do it.
I'd love to. I mean, that would be quite interesting to see him do that.
Yeah, but Another Day for me was the absolute highlight of the 1993 tour, and I loved a lot of the songs that he did from Off the Ground, but Another Day, I think his voice sounded phenomenal in 93 on most of the shows, and I'm so glad that he's bringing that back.
Yeah.
8 days a week, like I said, it's not as much of a shocker to me. It's more a shocker that he would open with it. Your Mother Should Know. You know, I'm glad. You know what's really interesting is the fact that aside from You Gave Me the Answer, Paul has never done any of that dancehall stuff live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he never did When I'm 64 live. He never has done Honey Pie live. He
Honey
hasn't
Pie,
done
I
any.
Think would be a pretty difficult. When I'm 64 would be easier.
I'm just saying in general, he doesn't tend to do those kind of songs as a live performance.
Yeah.
You know, Baby's Request, one of those songs, he doesn't choose to do live. You know, I'm just saying those particular songs that harken back to the 30s and 40s, he will not do those songs live, but this is the first time he's doing Your Mother Should Know. Altogether now, to me, it's a natural, you know? Mm-hmm. Just say, why haven't you done that all these years?
Yeah, you're right. And you can just hear the audience going crazy for that one.
In fact, Altogether now would be, that should be moved towards the end of the concert.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised. Yeah, I'm actually surprised it's in the middle. I mean, there's a few things that could be moved around, and that would definitely be one of them.
And Lovely Rita is a nice surprise. I'm not shocked. I'm really glad he's doing it, and I hope he does that same bass line that he did on the album. But yeah, it's about time that he did that too.
Yeah, I think switching the two positions of those two songs would be a good idea. Lovely Rita doesn't seem like it should be at the end of the show, to me.
Paul has usually been a master at pacing.
That's true.
He knows where to play songs, so this is a little bit surprising. But overall, I'm very pleased, and I don't want any of the fans to get the wrong idea about what I said before. I'm going to support Paul McCartney if he did a concert and he sang Yesterday 30 times. I'm just happy that he's out there doing anything because, seriously, it's a gift at this point.
Right.
You know?
And especially, I mean, he's still doing 3-hour shows. I mean, good grief.
Yeah, you know, he's pushing Ringo's 71.
Ringo's not even doing 3-hour shows, but, I mean, very few artists are out there plugging away with the kind of shows that he's doing. So, this is astounding. This is amazing.
You know, at this point, whatever Paul and Ringo give us are bonuses, you know? I'm sure that they both know that there are so many people in the world who are now just discovering the Beatles, young fans.
Right.
And this is the only chance they're ever going to have of seeing any of them.
Right.
With John and George not here. I mean, yes, you can see Beatles tribute bands, and they're wonderful in their own way, but there's nothing like the real thing. So the mere fact that they're still doing anything at all and that Paul is giving you 2.5 hours to 3 hours is amazing unto itself. I just, as someone, and I realize that you may not feel this way about Paul, but I don't look at the Beatles as being Beatles first. You know, after all these years, 50 years of music, 40 years of which have been solo music, more than that now. There's so much that they've done. You know, 80% of their catalog overall is solo music. I think of them as great artists first and Beatles second. And I realize that that's kind of a radical statement to say because I don't look at them as Beatles first. And yes, they had some solo songs that were very good.
That actually is a perspective that, you know, you could probably talk about. You know, we could do a whole show on that. But
Well, it's different when you've grown up and you've listened to everything.
I mean, I went through it, as I was telling somebody on the phone yesterday. I mean, they were asking me how I discovered the Beatles, and I said, you know, hey, I was watching Ed Sullivan Show. I still remember that clear as a bell, laying on the floor in the living room watching the black and white TV and watching them on the screen, and, you know.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people don't realize that in the 70s in particular, when the Beatles were doing so well with their solo music, there were a lot of young kids that grew up on that first.
Mm-hmm.
And then from listening to Wings or George's spiritual stuff or All Things Must Pass or John's solo music or the Ringo album, then they discovered the Beatles. It wasn't always Beatles first. So there is that generation of people who grew to appreciate the Beatles from the solo stuff first. And there is one final thing I want to say, because when I look at this set list, I still think that it's too Beatle heavy for me. But believe me, I will support Paul no matter what he does. But there's one listener that I had going back to the 80s when I was doing my show in New Jersey, who was born in 1973.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew up hearing solo music in the 70s and 80s. From that, he became a Beatle fan. He didn't get to go to the Wings Over America tour because he was only 3 at the time. But he's been to every McCartney tour since then, from 89, 90 on.
Right.
And a few years ago, We were at the same show in Philadelphia where Paul opened with Venus and Mars Rock Show. He also did Letting Go. And it was around that time, I think he was bringing in 1985, and he did Ram On and all this solo stuff. And there was a decent amount of solo music there in that show. And he said to me something that will always stick with me. He said, this is the first time I've ever been to a Paul McCartney show where I felt it was a Paul McCartney show and not a Beatles tribute. So, you know, there's no question that the Beatles were amazing as a group. And for so many people in the world, especially many that are listening right now, there's nothing that will ever compare to that. But if you've studied their whole body of work, there's so much more great music that they've done on their own, which unfortunately doesn't get the exposure that it deserves. And on the one hand, I will be so grateful to Paul for doing this show. For my particular taste, I think I'm probably in a minority. It should be more like one third Beatles in a Paul McCartney show when you consider how huge his catalog is. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing a show and you're selling to, you're playing in front of 40,000, 50,000 people, you can't get away with too much music that the average person doesn't know.
Right, and I think that's the reason why there's all the Beatles stuff, and that's why I kind of look at it as, you know, I'm glad it's Beatle heavy.
Well, I think your tastes are far more conservative than mine.
Ooh, there's a word I don't hear very often.
Not with you. I'm not saying politically. Don't get the wrong idea. Don't get offended now.
No. It's funny that we talk about Paul doing a Beatle tribute set, because a rock critic I know, whose name I won't mention on the air, but who would be known to a lot of people, once told me that Paul McCartney was the best Beatle tribute group there was.
Right, I've heard that too.
Yeah. So,
you know, and when I go to see Paul McCartney, I'm not going to see a Beatle. I'm going to see a great artist who at one time was in the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how I go about, you know, all the work that I do on the Beatles.
Right.
So,
see, now I'm glad to hear all the Beatles songs because, number one, you know, we don't have John, we don't have George. Ringo only does a limited number of Beatles songs, so who else do we have besides Paul? We don't. So I'm glad that he does all the, but you know, you have a good point that...
He's done over 30 albums, Steve.
Right. No, I know that. And
that's a lot of music.
There's a whole lot of stuff. I'm actually surprised that there wasn't kind of a section relating to Wings Over America in there.
That's true.
That's kind of a surprise, and that was something that a lot of people were expecting, and it didn't happen. So, But who knows? Maybe something, you know, maybe since we're getting close to the reissue, maybe, you know, closer to the reissue, you know, as the date we're taping this, maybe that will happen at some point, but who knows?
Okay, well, that will put the show to a close, and this was a great conversation.
It was. That was good.
Okay, so if any of you would like to get in touch with us, you can write to us through our email address, which is thingswesaidtodayradioshow, you had to make it so long, @gmail.com, and anyone that wants to know more about my radio program, Every Little Thing, which is syndicated on almost 20 stations in the country and can also be heard as a live broadcast on WNHU, which can be streamed at WNHU.net Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go to my website, KenMichaelsRadio.com. Find out more information all about it. And to get in touch with you, they can do what?
They can look me up on Examiner.com as the Beatles Examiner. I'm also on Facebook under my own name. I have, you know, a Beatles Examiner page also, and I've actually put up a Paul McCartney tour news page that I've been linking to the bottom of most of my articles, where people can talk about the tour and get news about the tour and all sorts of things. So that's
okay.
Happening now too.
What's the name of that page?
It's called Paul McCartney 2013 Tour News. There we go.
You like long titles.
I like long titles. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. So, for Things We Said Today, this is Ken Michaels thanking you so much for listening. And I'll see you next time.
And this is Steve Marinucci, and we'll see you next time.